Welcome to Hold Fast, the radio broadcast of Christ Fellowship Bible Church. Stay tuned for some announcements, some singing, and some preaching from God's Word. Good morning and welcome to Hold Fast, the radio broadcast of Christ Fellowship Bible Church. My name is Steve Willing and I pastor Christ Fellowship Bible Church here in Marion Station. I'd like to welcome all of you to our broadcast this morning. It's good to have you on board with us. Appreciate all of our regular listeners and those maybe picking up for the first time. Thank you so much for coming on board and being a part of the program today. Christ Fellowship Bible Church is an independent church that serves the Crisfield Marion Station area, and we meet at 5910 Crisfield Highway here in Marion Station. And our Sunday mornings begin with our worship service that starts at 10 o'clock. You are welcome to come and join us today. You'll be greeted warmly when you come through the door. Be given directions on where things are as far as restrooms and water and coffee and the sanctuary and where we'll meet. So come out and I'd love to have you today. It's always better in person. If you are unable to get out, we do stream our service live via Facebook right around 10:45. So in person at 10 and streaming right around 10:45. Tonight, we would normally have our worship service, but this evening starts our Vacation Bible School, and we are excited about that. Been preparing all week for it. It's called Stellar, Let Jesus Light Shine. It's more of a space theme, and looking forward to that. That begins at 6 o'clock tonight and runs to 8. We'll be doing that from this evening on to Thursday evening. So we've got 5 days of it, Sunday through Thursday. And each night it runs from 6 to 8 o'clock. The ages for the children are 3 years old to 12 years old. 3 years old to 12 years old. So if you've got kids, grandkids, great grandkids, bring them on out tonight. Love to have them. Love to have them. It's going to be a good week in the Lord. Friday this week, because our VBS will run from Sunday to Thursday, Friday this week we are having a hymn sing. It's a benefit hymn sing for a special young lady in our community, Jenna Drewer, who has been fighting cancer. And we are looking to support her with this hymn sing. So we are going to be having a variety of singers from all around our area. Going to have a lot of good singing. Going to be giving away different gifts and prizes through the evening. And then all the money that we raise is going to go directly to Jenna and help with her expenses. Because, friends, it's enough as being a pastor and watching people go through cancer and just the treatments and the difficulty. It's just enough doing that, barring anything else, friends, because it does take so much out of you, and I've watched so many people go through it. But at times we forget the financial. Even with good insurance, friends, it's costly with going back and forth across the bay and different places, just the expense of it, and we want to help Jenna out. So Friday night at 6 o'clock, we are starting the hymn sing. Everyone is welcome to come out, and we're looking forward to it. Again, got a good variety of singers from all over the place that are going to be singing. Got a lot of prizes and things to give away. We're going to have just got some I forget how they're working it all out there, but they're going to be giving away all kinds of stuff. I think they've got me, when you come in, you get a ticket and the ticket's got numbers on it, and I'll be calling out numbers and we'll be taking care of all that. So just a lot of stuff to give away. Going to be a great evening, and it's going to be, well worth it in support of Jenna Drewer. So with that, that's going to wrap us up for this week, because we've just with Vacation Bible School to Him Sing. And with that, that's going to cover this week. So we'll be canceling our evening service tonight, Bible study on Tuesday night, and then we'll be picking back up the following week. We have a song picked out here, and I pray that the Lord would use it to be a blessing to you. So while you are listening to the song, why don't you grab your Bible, turn with me over to the third chapter of the book of Joshua. We're going to pick it up there, and I'll be back in a few minutes. So enjoy the song, and hold right on just for a few more moments.
There is grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. When I look at the space between where I used to be and its reckoning, I know I will never be alone. Was another in the fire standing next to me. Was another in the waters holding back the sea. Should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free? There's a cross that bears the burden where another died for me. There is another in the fire. Dead beneath the waters. I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. Should I fall in the space between what remains of me and its reckoning? Either way, I won't bow to the things of this world. Was another in the fire. Standing next to me was another in the waters, holding back the sea. Should I ever need reminding what power set me free? There is a grave that holds no body, and that power lives in me. Was another in the fire. Standing next to me was another in the waters, holding back the sea. Should I ever need reminding how good you've been to me? I'll count the joy come every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be. I can see the light in the darkness as the darkness bows to Him. I can hear the roar in the heavens as the space between wears thin. I can feel the ground shake beneath us as the prison walls cave in. Nothing stands between us. Nothing stands between us. Was another in the fire. Standing next to me was another in the waters, holding back the sea. Should I ever need reminding what power set me free? There's a grave that holds no body, and that power lives in me. There's no other name but the name that is Jesus. He who was and still is and will be through it all. So come what may in the space between all the things unseen and its reckoning. I know I will never be alone. There's another in the fire standing next to me. another in the waters, holding back the sea. Should I ever need reminding how good you've been to me? Oh, count the joy come every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be. Was another in the fire. Was another in the fire.
And that was Kayla Willing singing for us, my daughter, back a few years ago, back in like 2020, I believe. That was way before her Miss Maryland stint, but hey, I take some credit for that. Giving her a chance to sing here at church, and that took her to a stage over there in Hagerstown and on to Miss America. So very thankful for her. I'd ask that you'd pray for her. She's in England right now. She's been studying at Oxford for the last month, and she'll be traveling back home this week. So I'll be glad to get her back here in the States. So we're going to turn our attention today to the third chapter of Joshua. They are preparing to cross the Jordan River into that of the promised land that God has given them. Their first major big battle is going to be that of Jericho. They need to take Jericho, but they've got to cross the river first. And you're talking about hundreds of thousands of people that need to cross this river. So this is not just some simple task that we, you know, just kind of say, oh yeah, we'll just go ahead and cross the river. No, you're talking about supplies, animals, the amount of people. You're talking about quite an undertaking. But God shows himself faithful to the group of Israelites because he is with them. And that's where we left off a couple weeks ago when we talked about that of the preparation of crossing the Jordan. But the Bible tells us in chapter 3 of Joshua, verse 8, it says, "You shall command," and this is the Lord speaking to Joshua himself, "you shall command the priest who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe, and it shall pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. And so it was when the people set out from their camp to cross the Jordan with the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priest who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is in Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of Arabah, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan." So the Lord certainly is with Israel. There is no question about it. Noted his last time we spoke about the preparation. Joshua had got the people rallied, ready to go. And then there comes the time for the crossing. But remember, as we had said and what we had read earlier, is that the presence of the Lord must go before them. God's presence must go before. And that's what we see, is the priest would take up the Ark of the Covenant. That was symbolic of the presence of God. And noted that as soon as the priests themselves, as they put their soles of their feet into the water, that we noted that the waters were just laid up in a heap. God cut the waters off, so everything from that point on downstream was dry. God not only stopped the waters, but what he did was dry the river bottom itself, and every person passed over unimpeded. They were able to cross over without any type of difficulty whatsoever. But what we want to note here, first and foremost, is the power of God acting on behalf of his people. So when God has promised something, and that's one of the things that we must remember, because oftentimes people think that what will happen is just because I do ask God something that God is going to give it to me, and that God is just going to do this, and this for me just because that's what I want, without taking in consideration what God would want. But noted that God is with his people. This is something of which he had promised Israel. Israel was prepared to do what it would take. They got themselves ready. God said, get the priest to take up the ark. And as soon as they did, and their souls touched, the soles of their feet touched the water, it was held up, stopped there, pushed up in a heap. And then noted that the people were able to cross again with no problems. So first and foremost, we note God's power when it acts upon behalf of his people. The second thing I want to note here is the importance of that of godly leadership and what is needed. So we see that the Lord is speaking to Joshua. Joshua has been put in place as the leader of the tribes of Israel. So he has taken the place of Moses. God is speaking directly with him, giving him the instructions of what needed to be carried out as the leader of Israel. God certainly is their king. Joshua is the general. He is giving the orders on down line, and those individuals are following through with what needs to go on, just as God has commanded. So what we see is we have God's positioning of people. The Levites have, when we speak about the priests, the Levites, they were the only ones that God had allowed to carry the ark. We have instances later where it's tried by other people, doesn't fare too well. When you don't do it God's way, doesn't work out very well at all. We can hoop and holler and shout praise the Lord, but if we don't do it God's way, there's going to be problems. And we find that out later on in places like Samuel and Kings. But noted here that they are following the protocol. They're following exactly what God had said. And the priests are that, as we would look at it in a general sense, they are the go-between God and man. They are that intermediary. They're the ones that go on behalf of the people to God and vice versa, from God to the people. That's what we see. And God requires those leaders certainly to have faith that they will go before, that they will draw near to God first, that they will be the first to step out. So here they are, they're toting this massive box, because this thing was not light. We did a study some time ago on in the book of Exodus, and this the Ark of the Covenant was not just a light piece of furniture. This was heavy. And now these people, the priests, that they've got underneath the poles, they've lifted it up on their shoulders, and now they start to carry the Ark of the Covenant across, which is a sacred piece to the Israelites. And now they're stepping down into the waters of Jordan. It's a great responsibility. It is a great responsibility. So we see that the priests, that they would lead the way, not Joshua, but the priest. They had the responsibility of carrying that of the Ark of the Covenant, that of which was symbolic of the presence of God, down into the waters of the Jordan. I want us to think about something today about the need, folks, for that of just good, solid, biblical leadership, that those who are willing to get their feet wet first, that they're looking to go down, even though, friends, that they had a task ahead of them, because they're thinking, you know, not that we can dig into their psyche, but here they are. They've got to go down into the water first. They're carrying the most sacred piece of, to use the term, furniture that the Israelites have. And think of the amount of weight, not just literally, but just in that spiritual sense of which they are carrying. Yeah, it was heavy physically. Friends, there was just a lot of emotional, psychological weight that they had to carry, hoping that, yeah, these waters would dry up, that they would not have to cross. But as soon as they stepped in, the Bible tells us that the waters just heaped up. And then they went on out, I suppose, to the middle, and that's where they stood and waited. And then everybody else just was like, wow. And they just went on across. But see, somebody has to go first. Somebody has to step down in the water. Somebody has to test the waters. Somebody has to go. And that's one thing that when we talk about biblical leadership, we know as we read the scripture, and not like some people demanding allegiance as a pastor or some kind of spiritual leader. You see that kind of stuff all the time, this bowing down. And I'm not here to say that the office of a pastor or elders or deacons should not be respected. They should be. But friends, there are those that are out in this world that they are demanding of people. And that's just wrong. Biblical leadership is based upon that of the idea of servanthood, of going at times where other people may be afraid that they would be, the leadership will be willing to do what others may not be capable of doing, that may be fearful of doing. And what we see in the life of Jesus Christ, certainly he is the pinnacle of leadership. But what we see of Christ is that he would take on the role of a servant. He would do what others were not willing to do. He would wash his disciples' feet. He would touch that of people who had leprosy, which was taboo in the day. Jesus would deal with the tax collectors and the sinners, because again, the religious elite would just really have no contact with them. So note, friends, that when we talk about leadership, leadership is willing to put their place, looking to put themselves in the place as a servant, even though they've been granted a blessed position of God to serve in that role. But it's, the understanding is, it's not to be a position that is to be to lord over other people. But for those of you that may not be in a position of leadership today, and you've got a good pastor, and I know many, many good pastors that are out here in this world today, and they're just looking to serve the Lord, serve the congregation, serve the people of which God has given to them. Noted that, friends, they are walking in that in a way that, friends, they go down into the water first. They're willing to take up the ark and go. And again, that ark, that carrying of that burden, friends, can be heavy. It can have come with that of some doubt at times. It can come with the uncertainty of what may not happen. So understand that when we talk about the priest and them leading the way, and God has commanded them to go. Joshua has laid that before them. You go down into the water. That's what God has said. And as they did, we note that as soon as they put the soles of their feet into the water, it rose up in a heap. So I would call those of you that are listening today, and you're thinking about the man of God that you have, your pastor, who's doing a good job, who's not demanding people to bow to his authority like some do, but that you would look to pray for him, that you would look to lift him up in prayer. Because, friends, he leads the way. He goes down into the water first. He's not going to ask you to do anything that he would not have already done or that he would not do himself. So pray for the leadership, because it is a grand responsibility, because they do carry the burden of the people upon their shoulders. Not that they play this intermediary role such as the priest of long ago did, because we understand that we have Jesus Christ as our great high priest now. But we do also understand that Jesus himself, as being that high priest, has set before us first apostles, then the prophets, then the evangelists, pastors, teachers, that he had put them there for a reason, for the church. And we see in Ephesians that he put them there, that those individuals, as they would bring the word of God, that it would be for the building up, the edifying of the church, the equipping of the saints for the ministry of the church. That's what he put them there for. And noted that any pastor worth his salt is certainly gone down into the waters first. He's treaded some unknown territory that helped him become the man of God that he is today. So noted, friends, that when we talk about leadership, when we talk about the priesthood, we talk about your pastor. Pray for your pastor. Pray that the Lord would strengthen him, encourage him. Pray that the Lord would use him in a mighty way, that as he would step down into the Jordan, that you yourself would be able to cross unimpeded, that you would be able to cross over into that promised land. Very thankful that you had someone who was willing to test the waters first. My name is Steve Willing, and I pastor Christ Fellowship Bible Church here in Marion Station. And if you would like to contact me with questions, comments, prayer requests, please feel free to call 443-235-3618. You can drop us a note in the mail, 5910 Crisfield Highway, Marion Station, Maryland, 21838. You can go to our new website, which is cfbc413.org, cfbc413.org. You can contact us from there. We've got a thing you can just click on, contact us. You can go to our podcast page, YouTube page, our Facebook page. You can check us out easily from that website. So once again, thank you for tuning in this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you. and give you peace. God bless.